always teased me about that. And he said, I called him last week, and he wept with joy. He's not well, but he did ask that I convey his love to you all. He has such tremendous memories. He said he was down his lowest peak. He was so depressed when he came to the Bahamas for a crusade that we invited him to several years ago. But it just picked him up, and he went home, and he was revived and well again emotionally and physically. But not now. He's 84, and he's falling down quite a bit. He broke his wrist going down out of his kitchen steps. And they're thinking of selling the house and moving in with the daughters. Both of them are nurses. Good to have children that are nurses. I said, are they taking good care of you? He said, spoiling me to death. Spoiling me to death. I thank God for Brother Worth. The Lord has used him mightily over the years. I want you to turn tonight, please, to Romans chapter 3. A very dark chapter. The first three chapters are dark of Romans. And we just want to read it. But there is also a bright spot in the chapter. And hopefully we want to talk about that as well. Romans chapter 3 gives the real state of a man's heart. And we want to read, break in verse 9 of Romans chapter 3. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. We have before proved that both Jew and Gentile, that they're all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way, they're together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher, with their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law, even the prophets. Verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. That's what we were singing about tonight, the quartet, that number. To declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. May the Lord bless the reading of that portion. I realize more than ever that the worst of the human heart has never really been seen, at least not here in our part of the world. We haven't seen it here in Spanish Wells. But none of us can trust the human heart. We know its capabilities. We know what it can do. And we've seen what it has done recently in the United States of America. Not the first time, although that incident is of larger proportion. But they've been doing it for a number of years. Terrorism operates like that. They consider children, civilians, women and men, just as bad as the military. They put them on the same level. And so they have no regard for human life. They are against certain nations. They are against liberty, truth, freedom. And it is just an apt picture right before us of Romans chapter 1 and Romans chapter 3 of exactly what we have in our world, our society today. I want to remind you, as we did last week, anyone that is tagged to Israel and United States of America, you will be hated. You will be hated. Anyone that stands up for Israel, though, by the covenant of God, will also be blessed. America is going to come out the victor, the winner, because she supports Israel. God's great timepiece today is Israel. I know you listen to a lot of sermons, and if you heard Adrian Rogers today, it was just a beautiful message he gave. I didn't get all of it, but it was tremendous along the same lines. And he made a quote, and he quoted Mama Corrie Ten Boom. It is the only woman that we allowed at our pulpit at our assembly in Bermuda. Bermuda is where she really became famous. She made several trips to Bermuda for many years. And then she went to America, and we never saw her anymore. They got a hold of her. But what an amazing woman in the concentration camps in Germany, where so many Jews were killed. And she told Mr. Rogers, she said, in heaven, there's no panic, but in heaven, there is a plan. And I want you to rest assured, beloved, no matter what happens in this world, God has a sacred, sovereign plan. God is working behind the scenes. A man spoke to a Christian in the Columbine incident where those children were murdered, shot by that particular person or persons. And he said, where was your God? And he said, the Christian said, well, he certainly was not in the Columbine school because you wouldn't let him in. Isn't it amazing? Where is your God? Every time something happens, why did your God allow this? Where is your God now? You ever notice that? And the nation calls on God for prayer. And I feel very saddened and yet happy that there are those who are sensitive and who still have a cry for God for America to be on their knees as well as the world. But a world that's not taught their little children as to how to pray, it becomes very, very difficult. Oh, the darkness of our world. Brother Roddy mentions the other evening that and I read it too, when the judge was to hand down a decision because the Ten Commandments were on the wall in this particular school. He said it must come down. Reason number one, children might read it. Isn't that ridiculous? Number two, they might not only read it, but it might have an effect on them and they might obey it. Now, either he was so stupid and doesn't know what the Ten Commandments are and never read them himself, totally ignorant of the embodiment of what the Ten Commandments are. I wonder what he would say now. Thou shalt not kill. What's wrong with that? Pull it down. The children might obey that. And so what is he saying? Go out and kill. You see, whenever we go against the laws of God, we incur, or at least we develop, all types of atrocities. Oh, our hearts are saddened by what happened. But the Bible says the hearts are darkened and alienated from God. Beloved, 1 million Christians have been slaughtered in Sudan in the last 15 years. Do you hear a world calling on God for prayer? Women and children slaughtered. Their bodies are left in the fields and you can see the flies and all kinds of creatures around them, and the crows or the ravens, the vultures. No one even to give them a decent burial. Look at their swollen tummies and their eyes sunken in their head. A million of them, and most of them are Christians. They target Christians in Sudan because of the heavily, densely populated Muslim society. And they hate Christians with a passion, and they're killing us. Russia has slain her million as well. But ever since the communist regime has come in, no outcry. Christians are being captured, held as hostages. No big outcry, only the church get on bended knee. The Christian is the most hated person in the world today. And what wrong do we do? We try to love our neighbor. We try to do what is right. We try to do what is good. We try to obey the commandments. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. And the fact one of the big problems in the Bahama Islands and the Bahamas, period, is stealing. You know what's ruined Jamaica today? The Jamaica's in the condition it's in? Theft. A breakdown of moral obedience and obedience to the commandments of the Word of God. Even though the Christian doesn't have to come under the scope of the Ten Commandments as such, but we obey it because it was given not only to keep cities in their sanity and civilized, because every nation that obeyed the laws of the Jew, they've survived. And every nation that has not obeyed the laws that God gave the Jew, they've gone into oblivion, and you can't find them today. Over 21 civilizations are lost. You know why? Heathen, paganistic ways that the way they live. But every nation that obeyed the commandments, the word of God, and listened to the laws given to the Jew by God, they have survived. Does this not tell us something? And so, I'm proud and happy. I use the word proud in a good sense of our heritage even here in Spanish Well. I really do. I mean that. Oh, we're not perfect. We're not pure. We never do everything that is right. But we do have a good percentage of people who are saved in this population of 1,200 people. That's why foreigners and visitors, when they come, they look astonished. I tell people where I go, I tell Bermudians about at least 60% of the population, if not more, are born-again believers. They can't believe it. I'm not saying that we're doing something right, but what I am saying that by the grace of God, there are people who have believed on Him, and God has blessed us in an unusual way. And so, my friend, we know we have more that yet to be gathered in, more that yet to be saved. Chapter 1 is a very sad, sad state. Listen, three times it says, this, in verse 24 of chapter 1, don't turn to it. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator. Men with men, women with women. Listen, England recently passed a law. A man can actually marry a man. A woman, a woman. Are we to follow eventually in our colony, in our island, or our country? We also are told that God gave them up. Verse 26, for this cause, God gave them over, up unto vile affections. And then verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, and to add insult to insult. Listen, last verse says, who knowing the judgment of God, they know that judgment is coming. They know that God is a God of judgment, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but they have pleasure in doing them. They're happy about it. And they're glad that they're anti-God, anti-church, and anti-Christian. Why do you think the insidious move long ago to establish abortion clinics to murder 30 to 40 million babies? Recently, now they come up with something that's even more sickening than anything you can imagine. Some of it we can even say. But I will say this, in the partial abortion act that they want to pass. So you see, they don't believe that the child is really alive, which is stupid, because the doctors know the child is alive. They test for heartbeat every time they test the pregnancy, do they not? They get alarmed if the heartbeat is not there. They test for a heartbeat, but now they want the baby to be more advanced. You know why? They have a needle, a huge needle, before the baby is aborted. I hope it doesn't make you sick, because it makes me sick sometimes when I think of it. They shove that needle in the back of the skull of the baby before it is born, tilted instantly. One jab of the needle. And then they have a hose, a suction, which is, the suction hose sucks all the brain out of the baby. You know why? There are cells in the baby's brain that they take to the lab and they use for research purposes. They believe that they can get these cells and they would help Parkinson's disease and paralysis. Can you imagine that? Let me have Parkinson's disease. Let me die with Parkinson's disease. All right? My family members especially. If I develop Parkinson's disease, let me die with it. Rather than use these cells from a baby's brain to try to cure me. I'd rather die with Parkinson's disease. But scientists don't want to admit their life. And so what do? We murder. Is there much of an outcry except the church? Great outcry. You see, God looks down and he sees this. And God is disgusted with the world. I wouldn't begin to tell you about some of the things that are allowed, even in America. Do you know when Mr. Clinton was there, the former president? He had a woman assigned to a social post, and she was, you know what she was working toward? Having the sex age lowered to 12 years of age of a girl legally. Meaning this, that if a man went with a girl at that age, they couldn't prosecute him. In America today, if a man, an adult, went with a girl under a certain age, he could be prosecuted. You know that, don't you? But she wanted to lower the age to 12. We could go on and talk about the things that man are allowing and committing. And this is exactly what Romans chapter 1 is all about. You say, but why did God give them up? Why did God give them up? He gave them up. Because number one, verse 21 says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and the foolish heart was darkened. They gave God up. Are you reading me tonight? God never gave them up first. They gave God up. Verse 21. Verse 25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator who is blessed forevermore. They gave God up. Verse 28 of Romans 1. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, then God gave them over to a reprobate mind. They didn't want to even keep God in their thoughts. They didn't even want to think of God. They gave God up. And God gave them up. Mister, I want to tell you something. You listen to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ for how long, how many times, I don't know. But listen to me, young people down in the back, if you're not born again, I don't know how many privileges you're going to have. But you give God up, one day God is going to give you up. You can't play with God. You can't trifle with God. Be decisive. Follow him. Take up the cross and follow the Lord Jesus. Quickly in chapter 3, listen, it says this. I won't be long and I won't major in it, but I will say this. The condition, all under sin. There's none righteous. No, not one. That's the true condition of man today. Then, secondly, he speaks about their very conversation. Their throat is an open sepulchre. An open grave, a dead body. The stench oozing from the grave. And my friend, let me tell you, the tongue, we've been hearing a lot about it. The throat is like an open sepulcher. Words that come out, kill and destroy. Hateful words. Destructive words. Slanderous words. And Romans, Paul tells the Romans, their throat is nothing, or their tongues are nothing but deceitful, and it's poison under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. You can't watch anything decent hardly on television unless they're cursing. And the words are not fit for anyone to listen to. Very offensive indeed. That's their conversation, their condition. Here's their conduct. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. And this may be the cardinal reason why the condition exists. Listen, verse 18, there is no fear of God before their eyes. I am convinced that when I first came to Spanish Wells, I saw far more fear of God in people than I do today. We've been through two hurricanes. Did it change us? Someone said it made us worse. Be that as it may. No fear of God before their eyes. If this be the case, I'm not surprised that God gave them up to a reprobate mind. That is the cause, the conduct, the conversation, the condition. But hallelujah, there is a cure. The cure is in verse 24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sin that have passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, verse 26, at this time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of them or of him which believeth. God wants to justify you tonight. When you look at the parade of sins that you ever committed, you go back as far as you can in the dark, dark sheet that might be let down in your conscience and your thought life tonight, and you can see them. Oh, the ugly parade. You shudder and you tremble. And all of us know what we're talking about tonight in that great sheet. And what he is saying in verse 26, that God, by the shedding of the blood of Jesus, will cover all of those sins and wash them away. And God will justify you and declare you righteous in His sight. Righteous. And he said, and I will not remember those sins against you anymore. You tell me it's not worth becoming a Christian tonight? It was Sir William Herschel. I don't know anything about astronomy, but way back, I think during King George V's reign of England, Sir William had discovered a new planet. And all of the scientists, of course, were very enthralled about it. And so they decided to throw a party in his honor. He was not only to be honored by the astronomers, but he was also to be honored by the King of England. And Sir William Herschel was very grateful for this, and you've heard me perhaps mention this, and it's worth repeating. But Sir William was so afraid. You see, he was a deserter. A deserter in the armies of England meant death. But no one knew that Sir William had deserted the army. And he was scared. He paced the floor that night and he was horrified. Suppose the king finds out. Suppose one astronomer who may not take a liking to me finds out. And so he was horrified. What is he to do? And so he was very sad at the banquet that was thrown in his honor. And just before the king arrived, he received a little envelope. And the envelope said, as he opened it, forgiven, King George V. And underneath it said, and I love this, it said, now we can talk. Now we can talk. Sir William was so overjoyed. You see, the king knew that he was a deserter, but he was forgiven. Clean the sheet. God looks down upon this congregation tonight. And God wants to say the same thing to you. Forgiven. If you'll only let Him come into your heart, and you'll be able to enjoy the forgiveness of God, and you'll be able to also enjoy the rest of what the King said. And now we can pray. Now we can talk. Oh, beloved, it's our prayer that you will indeed turn to Him, that you'll know what it is to be joyously saved. The cure is the blood of Christ, the death of the Lord Jesus. Nothing else will do. I hope and pray to God that you will close in with His offer of mercy and you will say yes to Him tonight. Yes, there's a sad, dark picture here, but it need not be for you. I think that those three references especially, God gave them up. God gave them up. God gave them up. Will that be said of you? While heads are bowed and Christians are praying, just before we go to prayer, is there someone here tonight? You're saying, Frank, I don't want to be given up by God, and I don't want Christians to give up on me either. I want them to pray for me. We can do that. I know raising the hand won't save you, but it certainly indicates to us that you are interested. Is there someone here tonight? Just quietly slip your hand up. Pray for me. I am not saved. And I do not want God to give me up. I want to come to Him, and I don't want to give God up. I want to be saved. Is there someone? Just be man enough, be woman enough. Say, pray for me tonight. I need the Lord. Yes. Yes. Don't look around, please, if God is speaking. We don't want to embarrass anyone, but is there someone else that God is speaking to? I want to be remembered in prayer. I want to trust the Lord. I want to come to Him tonight. God is moving in our meeting. Maybe you're away from God and you want to come back. You're saying tonight, I'm going to walk with the Lord. Is there someone else? Just quietly slip your hand up and take it down again. We want to give you an opportunity to do this. Are there any? God is speaking to your heart. Don't turn Him away. We plead tonight for your soul. Will you not come? Lord, bless indeed this dear one. You know the circumstance. You know the reason. You know why he had put his hand up. You know all about him. If it's for salvation, save him. If it's for a closer walk, save him. We ask the Lord for others in this meeting tonight that they will make their way and truly be saved for Jesus' sake. Amen. I want you to turn to 230. The sin of the Savior is calling for thee. Long, long has he called thee in vain. He called thee when joy bent its crown to thy days. He called thee in sorrow and pain. Don't let it be in vain tonight. I'm going to ask you to stand. And if you'd like to meet with me up here the front, or some of the brethren be glad to, some of the ladies, if you're here and you're not saved, you come. We want to give you an opportunity where they could take you to the office and have a word of prayer with you. Let's stand. You just make your way. You say, well, that takes courage. I know it does, but it takes more courage to say no to God. It takes more courage to walk out of this meeting without trusting the Lord. It takes more courage to go to hell than it does to go to heaven. So we plead with you, give us an opportunity to pray with you at least. Will you do that? I'll ask you to stand, sing please. And you just make your way here to the front and someone will escort you to the office by when we have a word of prayer with you. All right? Let's stand and sing. 230, please. thine ears have been deaf to his voice, thine eyes to his glory been dim. The calls of thy Savior have so wearied thee. But what if they should weary him? I wouldn't forgive myself if I didn't have another verse to sing. I'm going to sing the last verse. And if I thought for a moment, or at least if someone should slip out into eternity tonight, I didn't have another verse to plead with you to come and trust the Lord. I don't know if I'd ever forgive myself. I want to plead with you tonight as if this was your last night. It could very well be. I ask you to slip out of your seat. Meet me here at the front. We'll go to the office and have prayer. Or someone will lead you there and I'll have prayer here. Will you come on the last verse, please?
Oh, sin of nations may weary someday, and me, Christ has so in the world. I will the resistance you drifted away. Oh, the gift I have done. Oh,
indeed, that you be pleased to use your word tonight. Thank you for the young man, oh God, whatever his need is, that at least had the courage to recognize that he has a need, whatever it is, Lord, if it's a closer walk with you, to come back with you, or for salvation. We pray that you'll meet that need tonight. Bless this congregation. Lord, you know the dear ones that are not saved. We plead for them. Save them tonight is our prayer. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask Brother Morris to go to the office door and you could be there. And I'm sure he'd be glad to have prayer with you as well. And hopefully there'll be many that will trust him tonight. God bless you.